So welcome to the church that gathers here locally at Bethel. My name is Josh, one of your pastors, and I get to bring the word again today. So if you're new here or new-ish, if you're watching online, you're welcome here. Because we believe when we gather in the name of Christ, the Lord meets us when we gather. We've been in a series where we are answering your questions from a biblical perspective. And sometimes people will ask, well, do we actually ask these questions? You did. This is from your Easter survey. And today's question will be our final question of the series. And let's be honest, it's a question that we hear often. And it's, aren't all religions the same? And if we're honest, our world today, one of the common things you'll hear is this. Well, it doesn't matter how I worship or who I worship, it all goes to the same place. Which sounds humble. That sounds inclusive and tolerant. Saying that all religions are the same is an easy way for everyone to get along. And let's be honest, I would argue that there is some type of basic, beautiful morality in every religion. Most religions would say, well, you need to be a good neighbor. You need to help people in need. You need to live with integrity and pursue justice. But those are superficial commonalities. The deeper question we need to ask is, are religions really the same at the deepest level? The most important level. Now, there's three paths forward. Scholars would really categorize Christians into three groups. Christians. There's the pluralist route. There's those who would say, well, Jesus is a good person, the Bible is a good book, but all religions are equally valid paths to God. And let me just be honest, because I love you. If that's what you believe, you do not believe what the Bible says. There's the inclusive category. Those who would say, well, I believe what the Bible says. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus is the only way to salvation, but I also believe those who never have heard the name of God through Christ can somehow be saved outside the name and the understanding of Jesus as Messiah. And again, if that is your view, that does not accord with what the New Testament says. And then there's the exclusive category that would say salvation is found in no one else. There is only one name under heaven by which men can be saved, the man Christ Jesus. So the question today is, well, which one is it? Now let me give you a story because I'm a pastor, and then we're going to read the Bible because I'm a pastor. Something of it this way. Picture yourself standing the bottom of a mountain. I have a friend that actually climbed Mount Kilimanjaro recently. So picture that friend climbing up this summit. Some would say, well, all religions are trails. It doesn't matter what trail you take. As long as you get to the summit, then you're good. And many people believe religion is that. It is, you're going to find your own path, but as long as you make it to the top, that's the most important endeavor. But what if I told you your picture is all wrong? Because Christianity doesn't say, find your path, walk, run, train, go to the top. Christianity actually says, God descended from the summit, from heaven, and came to earth because you have no hope of summiting anything in your life spiritually. And we're going to see what the scripture says. Because our earthly picture of what faith looks like is sometimes wrong. And I would say this to you. If Christianity is simply another path to get to heaven, then all religions would be the same. But Christianity is not a path. It's a person. And that changes everything for us. Jesus is not just part of the religious buffet. I wrote that because you're a Baptist. You understand that metaphor. Some of you have never climbed a mountain, but you've been to a buffet. And you've conquered. But Jesus never says, hey, I'm the buffet. Jesus says, no, I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth. This is the word of Jesus Christ. And so may we pray, and then we will look at John 14 together this morning. John 14. Let me pray. Father, forgive us when we think you are merely a path. Forgive us when we think that Jesus is merely a way, or faith in Christ is the same as faith in man, faith in Allah, faith in self. Lord, you are not the same. Lord, would you meet us when we ask deep questions of faith? And Lord, today, may we push past the superficiality of the world. And may we drink deep from the well of living water that is drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Lord, this is our petition in Jesus Christ. We pray, amen and amen. Well, the easiest way for me to answer your question, aren't all religions the same, is just to share with you what Jesus said about himself. Because I feel like it's a good place to start. If you ask me, well, who is Jesus? I'm going to say, well, let me give you what Jesus says about Jesus. So John 14, Jesus speaks about himself because he doesn't want us to be ignorant or unaware of who he is. And in John 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples who are troubled. And I know that because he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. He says, I'm going away, but you know the way. And Thomas says, well, we don't know the way. And Jesus says this in 14:6. And I imagine he's rubbing his temples or scratching his head and saying, okay, disciples, you don't get it. I am the way. I am the truth. I am life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is a staggering claim. Now, just pause and reflect on the context. Jesus is not speaking in a political sphere. He's not in an arena. He's not on a platform. Jesus is speaking to a close group of disciples who are authentically asking him, Jesus, who are you? So Jesus is not saying this that the world at this moment might know, but he is saying this because the world will know. Look at what Jesus says about himself. For those who ask, is Jesus one of the ways to get to heaven? Aren't all religions the same? Jesus says he is what way? The way. Okay? Jesus says he is what truth? The truth. And Jesus says, what about life? He is the life. And again, for those of us that are thick-skinned and also thick-headed, Jesus three times has said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And we say, well, what do you mean by that? And he says, okay, let me be simple. No one can come to the Father except through me. Now, again, who is he speaking to? His disciples, his innermost circle, and they are struggling with who he is because they're struggling with the same question that we've asked. They're asking Jesus, aren't all religions, aren't there many paths, aren't there many ways? Jesus makes it clear. Salvation is found in him alone. But not merely in John 14:6. I don't want you to think that Jesus only speaks about his divinity and his salvation one time. John 3, again, in a private setting, it's at dark. Nicodemus comes to him at night. I think the better translation, Nicodemus comes to Jesus in darkness. Yes, it's p.m. after the sun has gone down, but Nicodemus is also arriving with spiritual darkness. And Jesus says, well, all you have to do to be born again, all you have to do to be saved is to be born again. And Nicodemus says, that's a little weird. I'm 50, and I don't want to be reborn in my mother's womb and have to go through the whole diaper thing again. And we laugh at that, but can you imagine hearing this for the first time? This idea of being born again? Like, I'm not going to throw shade at Nicodemus because it's, if true, it's radical. If it's not true, it's laughable. If it is true, it's radical. It's earth-shattering. And Jesus says to Nicodemus in that context, he said, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and not one of his sons, one and only son, that whoever believes in him, that one son named Jesus, will not perish but have everlasting life. It actually in CSB says eternal life, but I'm sharing it how I remembered it. Jesus is clear that he is the way. And not only in John, we have in Matthew 11, 27, Jesus proclaims, no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. That's Matthew 11, 27. And if you say, well, okay, well, John says it, Matthew says it, is that all? No, it's not. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, verse 16, Luke, Jesus addressing unrepentant towns. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. These are God-fearing locations. Not Tyre, not Sidon, not Sodom, not Gomorrah. These should be people who would... These would be towns that we would expect to receive the good news of Jesus as Messiah. He says, whoever listens to you, Father, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. Whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. So does Jesus believe that all religions were essentially the same? His own words leave no conclusion to that fact. Jesus clearly says that he is radically different than any other person who has ever lived. Reflecting on these thoughts, this is why C.S. Lewis writes in Mere Christianity, and it's a long quote. Lewis surmised, he said, I am trying here to prevent anyone from saying something really foolish about Jesus. He said, and this is what they might say, I am ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who wasn't merely a man and said to be the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher, which is true. This man would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man, Jesus, was and is the Son of God, or he was a madman or something else worse. Which is why you have heard Lewis summarize it this way, that either Jesus was a liar, he knew he wasn't God and yet he says it, he was a lunatic, he wasn't God but he thought he was, or he is Lord. He is God. He says he is God, and to claim the name of Christ is the only hope that we have for salvation. That is your choice today. And you might say, well, are there any other passages? I need more convincing. I got you. Because it's not only what Jesus says about himself, it's what the entire New Testament witness says about what Jesus says. So in the New Testament, The exclusive claim that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life is not limited to his own voice. And let me just say, that would be enough in itself. The apostles carried the same message with unflinching boldness. On the day of Pentecost, that's 50 days after Passover, Pentecost was one of the three main festivals where you had to travel to Jerusalem to maintain your right standing with your Jewish faith. This is found in Acts chapter 2, if you want to turn there with me. It's interesting that Pentecost is the celebration of the Feast of Weeks, but it was also tied to the general tradition of the day where Moses received the law on Mount Sinai. So it represents the giving of the law. And Peter is preaching to people who have gathered in this moment. And Peter preaches a short sermon because he was a rookie preacher. When he learned how to really preach, he would preach longer, at least in my mind. Peter is preaching in Acts chapter 2. And after he preaches and proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ, in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, the people were pierced to the heart. And they asked this question. They said, "Brothers, what must we do to be saved?" And Peter doesn't flinch. He doesn't say, "Well, Jesus is one of the paths on the mountain. I know we're all going to the same place. It'll be okay. You can be Jewish. Still hold to the law. Just add a little Jesus into the spiritual buffet." That's not what Peter says. Peter says with unflinching boldness, "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in what? In the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So if we were to ask Peter, "Peter, are there many paths to salvation?" He would say, "What's wrong with you people? What would you even think that's a possibility? Do you know who Jesus is? He is the Son of God." In Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Same Peter, same John, with similar boldness. They say that the Jesus who you rejected is the stone which the builders have rejected, and he's become the chief cornerstone. In Acts 4:12, which comes after 4:11, which ends up as 4:12. Just need you to follow my thought pattern. Peter says, "There is salvation in no one else. There is only," how many names? "One name under heaven by which men can be saved." But it's not just Peter who says that. Paul, you know him as Paul, but he was Saul, a man who hated God. Now just think about this. If you would ask Saul here in Acts 4, "How do you get to heaven?" He would say, "By keeping the law, and I will die to stamp out the way of Jesus Christ." So Saul would have said to Peter in Acts 4:12, "How dare you blaspheme the name of Yahweh?" This same Saul meets Jesus by divine encounter. He is pierced to the heart. He's blinded in the eyes. He cries out, "Who is this, Lord?" And he says, "I am the one you're persecuting. Follow me." And Saul says, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it." And Jesus says, "Okay, you're no longer Saul, you're now Paul." This man who hated Jesus now says about Jesus in 1 Corinthians 8:6, "There is one Lord, Jesus Christ. All things are through him, and we exist through him." So if you ask this man who hated Jesus, who now loves Jesus, "Paul, why do you love him?" He would say, "There is one Lord, Jesus Christ. all things are through him, and we exist through him alone. And he's writing to Corinth, to a place that worships a plurality of gods, a pagan context. He's writing to the religious buffet. And he's saying, this is not who Jesus is. In Galatians, the same Paul is now writing to the church. They have received salvation by Jesus Christ, and now they're struggling with, okay, do we make the right decision? And he says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, you want to keep turning to the right to your Bible. Galatians chapter 1, it's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Galatians 1, 6. Paul says to the church, I am amazed that you are so quickly turning from him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. He says, not that there is another gospel. Paul said, why would you ever try to do anything different? There is only salvation in Jesus Christ alone. The witness of Christ is unequivocal. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The witness of the New Testament is unequivocal. There is no other way to God but through the redemption of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, who rose again and now sits at the right hand of God. Because he did that for you, he has offered you the adoption of sons and daughters in Christ. You might call him Abba, Father. So what is it that makes Christianity different? We began by asking, aren't all religions the same? Let's start with what makes religion and Christianity different. It's the good news of God breaking into our world. So first, what makes faith in Christ radically different? Every religion in the world says in one way or another, do this and maybe you will live. Perform to your God, be a good person, you can fill in the performance, and God will accept you. Faith in Christ is radically different. Salvation in Christ alone is not you dying on the cross saying, God, I did it. It's Jesus dying on the cross in your stead and saying, it is finished. No other religion claims that. And I think they don't claim that because they know it would be foolish to claim that unless it's true. The Apostle Paul declared, for you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast. So if you are here today and you think about boasting, that is not what Christians do. Because you have nothing to boast about in yourself. But in Christ, we have a lot to boast about. Christianity is not about what we do for God, but what God has done already for us in Christ. Church, this is grace, and that is freedom. No other religion claims that. We do not perform for God. The work is accomplished for us. Secondly, in every other faith, humanity reaches upward. The story of many paths to the summit is true. Every religion says, find your own way, find your own path, but keep striving up. Actually, Christianity says that God came down. It's the inverse of what religion says. John 1 tells us a story. In the beginning, where was with God, the Word was God. Where was with God. And then it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in John 1, 14. Christianity is a story of God coming down, not us going up. The eternal God did not wait for us to climb a ladder, not Jacob's ladder or Josh's ladder or Frank's ladder. It was God coming down to us in flesh, walking our dusty roads, carrying our sorrows, as Isaiah says, dying our death that we might be saved. This is the story of our faith. Not Josh walks up, but Jesus takes on flesh. That's different. Thirdly, the very heart of our faith is not just a teaching or a philosophy, but it's a cross and an empty tomb. And even the most hardened skeptics would not deny that a man named Jesus actually died on a Roman cross. Because history verifies that, records that. At the heart of our faith is a very historical crucifixion. Not a philosophy, it's not a parable. It's a true historical event. And at the heart of our faith is a true historical reality that the tomb where Jesus of Nazareth was actually buried, because he actually died to a Roman instrument of death, is now actually empty. Your faith hinges upon that fact, not the story, not the moral teaching, not the platitude, but the historical reality that Jesus rose from the dead. There's not a single religion other than Christianity that makes that claim. You know why? You would be stupid to make that claim unless it happened. This is what we believe. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, I passed on to you that which was most important, that I received from the apostles, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was actually buried, that he was actually raised on the third day according to the scriptures. At Calvary, Peter says that Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree so that having died to sin, we might live for righteousness. Church, Christianity is not good advice. It is Jesus Christ dying for your sins, rising again, and changing history. And if that did not happen, you and I are some of the largest fools on the planet. But I am okay taking that chance. I will die a fool believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ than living for man any day. No other religion claims the historical death and resurrection of their Savior. Lastly, finally, what sets Christianity apart is Christ himself. I would say what sets Christianity apart? The Christian part, the Christ part of the word. John 1, Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He is fully human and fully God. Hebrews 1, 1 through 3 claims the same thing. Luke 24 says that Jesus was crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins. Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is one name under heaven by which men can be saved, the name Christ Jesus. What makes Christianity different? Christ. Jesus does. So that in alone means that Christianity is not the same as every other religion. Christianity is radically different. Grace for the undeserving. God with us. In Jesus Christ, God made flesh, the cross at the center, Christ himself as Lord of all. You've heard what Jesus says about himself. But what does he want you to say about himself? I think about Matthew 16 a lot, where Jesus is walking with his disciples and he asked them. He says, hey, Joe, who do people say that I am? And they start speaking up. Well, some say you're Elijah. He was a good Old Testament. That's a good prophet, in my opinion. Some say you're John the Baptist. Miracles. Mighty man of repentance. Some say you're Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. the prophet who had the heart of God himself. And Jesus then actually flips the script. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" I believe that question should linger upon our consciences. Because that question is the heart of Christianity. It might have sounded respectful to call Jesus a prophet, or a moral teacher, or a spiritual guide. But flattery of Jesus will send you to hell. Only faith in the Son of God leads you to the Father. Who do you say Jesus is this morning? Do not be fooled. All religions are not the same. All paths do not lead to heaven. And just as a friend, I just want to share this. No matter what path you take to try to find your way to heaven, that path will only lead you to hell. Who do you say Jesus is? If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, would you ask the question that those people on Pentecost asked, that had the boldness to say, "Pastor Josh, what must I do to be saved?" I believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. What must I do to be saved? Well, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized." Repentance means about face. I think in today's message, it would be repentance is saying no to the path that you're walking to get to heaven, and saying yes to God in flesh. God coming down, bearing your sin, taking your cross, dying your death, rising again. And if you say, "I just don't know if I can believe that," you can't unless it's by faith. But it's true. And it's worth it that you come to faith in Jesus Christ. And if you've given your life to Christ, would you simply in a moment of worship just thank him that our faith is not like the faith of the world. It is radically different. And because of that, we rest in grace and we rest in the freedom that we are not here today performing for God. We are here on the basis that he said to us on the cross, "Josh, it's finished. You can be saved because I paid it all. Believe, follow, because there is one name under heaven by which men and women can be saved." Father,